everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. That's what we do here. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And we just watched the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair.
Yeah.
So I was a little hesitant about it because I had a lot of mixed reviews online from, like, you know, just casual marks who don't know anything about wrestling. They seem to love it. And then, like, the actual people who follow wrestling seemed to, like, were underwhelmed. And I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
There
was a lot of stuff in there that even, like, you know, us smarks didn't really know about. So it wasn't just his career and, oh, he liked to drink. I didn't know his parents never came to watch him wrestle.
Yeah,
I didn't know they wanted nothing to do with him as a kid. So stuff like that.
Well, for me, a lot of that stuff that came up was, I work on, like, JR's show, you know, Jim Ross's podcast, and, you know, and all these other wrestling podcasts, and a lot of them have been talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, nonstop, as they should, because it's a big event.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big event for a lot of, you know, wrestling fans, you know, people that are very close to Rick and close to the business. And they talked about it, and it's pretty, you know, it's a good piece. There is some stuff in there that most of the stuff in there I was pretty much aware of. You know, as far as, especially also listening to all these podcasts that people talk about and kind of bring up those finer points and just kind of, you know, reiterate those things. But it's really well done. I think there's a lot of real sobering information about Rick. You know, the fact that his first wife is there, you know, that nobody ever talks to, you know. And that's the thing, like, nobody's ever asked her to talk, you know, that's why you've never seen her anywhere. It's because nobody's ever asked her to talk. And she's actually, you know, she's, you know, David's mother and stuff. And
the other, I forgot the other
Megan,
dog.
I think,
Megan,
right?
Yeah.
Her mother. And so she's, you know, she's.
I didn't even realize there was a Megan.
Yeah. Flair's got what? Four kids, right?
Yeah. Well, he had four. Yeah.
And there's just a lot of stuff going on that's just really sobering, and just he paid a very big price for a lot of the hard living that he did over the years. But I don't know if that's kind of what we're trying to show, is, like, you know, he never knew who he was. He was always a character, and he always lived that character, and he was always Rick Flair. He was never Rick Flair.
Yeah,
you know, he was never anything but that.
And then there was a point where the guy who directed it, I forgot his name already, but
Rory Karpf.
Okay, Rory Karpf. Yeah. So he asked him, and then when he asked this, I even pointed out to you, I said, this guy's never been a performer. When he asked about, why don't you, after the matches, just go back to your hotel and watch TV? This guy's obviously never been a performer.
No, see, here's the thing. I disagree with that. He's not a performer.
Yeah.
But Rory, from what I understand, and because I heard him talk about this, he kind of went into it like, even though it's kind of like how we would have to go into an interview like this. Like, we can't just go in there and be like, so Rick, I know about this. And he'd be like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of had to ask, like, well, did you party with women? You know, and, you know, Rick had to kind of smarten him up, you know, and be honest and stuff like that. So I feel like that's a lot of the way the questioning worked. Because Rory also did I Hate Christian Laettner, and he for 30 for 30. And he also did the Dale Earnhardt one. So he's, you know, he's been up and down the road as far as with sports heroes and stuff like that. And
I could tell you, we've both done stand up. I've performed, I know, just speaking from my own experience, when you perform in a room in front of, like, maybe 100 people, maybe not even that, maybe like 50 people, and you have a great set and you did really well, it's hard to come down after that. And I don't think I ever just was like, oh, I'm going home and went to bed afterwards. No, you don't. You just go out with your other comic friends that were on the show and you go drink and you have fun.
Yeah, or you just want to, you want to just bask in that moment all the time.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
It's, I could really, like, I never really understood the whole thing about entertainers, like, going through substance abuse, like, why they, like, are drawn to it, until I became one myself. And I was like, okay, I could see it now. I mean, I'm not into the whole doing drugs or anything like that. But it was definitely hard to just, like, have a great set and then be like, okay, you know what? I'm done for the night. I'm going home.
Yeah.
No, it was always to the bar to have a few drinks, or out to the parking lot to smoke some weed, and then, like, party, and then go to Denny's, and then finally come down and go to bed.
Yeah. But
that's how it was. And, like, I could totally see why Ric Flair lived that life.
you know, you get that sense of, you know, invincible, you feel invincible and stuff. And because you did a great thing in front of a crowd, you know, and you want to keep that going, and it's, you know, soon it just becomes part of your identity. And I always think about that for myself. I'm like, if I ever got to that sort of level, would I still be even keeled and stuff like that? And, you know, Flair was out there cheating on his wife every night.
Yeah.
You know, having sex with, you know, hundreds of women and just doing it because, you know, he had to, you know, he had to be a part of that lifestyle. You know, he had to live that gimmick. And, you know, it was very damaging, obviously, to personal life. And, you know, and I think really, you know, watching the stuff about him and Reed, his son Reed, was actually very significant because Reed idolized his dad. And, you know, how could you not?
Yeah.
That's the thing. How could you not? I mean, I feel like me, Sean Merrick now, if my dad was Ric Flair, you know, if I was 20 years old and my dad was Ric Flair, I'd be like, oh, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
I would have everything. I could do whatever I wanted. You know, I could party and I could, you know, and then I could become a wrestler and I could be like my dad and I could hang out with all these people and have all these women and have all this stuff. And, you know, it would be out of control. Because how do you know anything else? You know, you don't have that other side of it. You know, and obviously, you know, nor myself or you. I don't know how you grew, how it was for you, but, you know, I grew up in a way where it's like you gotta be very humble.
Yeah.
You know, and Flair did not, you know, he built himself up in a way to not be humble, and that's, you know, that's how he lived his life.
He always said it was hard to be humble.
It is. It's sometimes it is hard to be humble.
Yeah.
You don't want to be humble because sometimes you're taught your entire life just you have to be humble.
Yeah. No, that's it's a good way to put it. Yeah. I've just never, I don't know, when I get to a point where I have stuff to enjoy, I guess I'll look at it the other way. But yeah, we're just.
Hey, I enjoy my life now.
Oh, yeah, I do. That came out wrong. I do enjoy my life, but I don't have like a mansion or cars or anything like that.
It's so, like I don't have the money. Yeah, we don't have the resources that Ric Flair had or, you know, any of these, you know, millionaires or whoever it is, you know, these, you know, these whatever celebrities or whatever that has all these insane resources. However, if I were to have that now, I'd be like, okay, this is great. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to pay off my student loans. I'm going to pay off all that debt. I'm going to pay off my wife's debt. And we're just going to invest a bunch of money and we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a house. Get some, you know, get some property, get some cat, get another cat, get a dog. I'm going to get some nice, you know, get a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
A decent car. I'm not gonna buy a Lamborghini. I'm not gonna buy a helicopter. Fuck that shit. I don't need that shit.
No, I want a nice, reliable Sabarui, a Subaru.
Sabarui.
The Sabarui, the Subaru Outback.
Is that the Booker T model? The Sabarui.
The Sabarui, my buddy used to call it. But that's what I would invest in because you see like those Sabaruis on the road. They're from the '80s and they're still running, so they actually work.
But yeah, Ric Flair, 30 for 30. Good stuff. I would recommend watching it if you can.
Yeah, it's. I think those 30 for 30s end up online somehow. Somebody can
watch
the
Bills. I saw. Well, eventually that, or they put them on Netflix, like they did with the Bills one, that's where I watched that one. I mean, I don't have ESPN, so I'm not gonna get.
So because you don't have cable, you missed the. I also have this on my DVR. They did a Football Life with Jim Kelly a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so I was out to dinner the other night. And I think I saw it when I was there airing it live on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
And I saw parts of it because I think it was like watching like the beginning of it. And they're showing like him, you know, in Ohio or Pennsylvania or whatever it is.
Honestly, I enjoyed the Ric Flair for 30 for 30 more than I enjoyed the Football Life with Jim Kelly.
Really?
Yeah. I think that there's been other things about those 90 Bills that have been better to watch, more entertaining. Like, maybe it was just because this one was just about Jim Kelly and not the whole team. Maybe that's why I didn't like it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. I just thought it wasn't as good as other things I've watched.
The 90s Bills were my Ric Flair.
Yeah. Yeah, they really were.
those guys were our Ric Flair, let's be honest.
Yeah, Jim Kelly, I put him up there... In just as high regard as Ric Flair, that's for sure. As far as
I put, I'll put Kelly, I'll put Bruce Smith, Leonard Smith. I'll put Leonard Smith up there. I'll put Nate Odoms. I'll put I'll put Keith McKellar up there. I'll put Pete Metzelaars up there.
James Lofton.
Reed.
Yeah.
I'll put Kent Hull. R.I.P. Kent Hull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kent Hull, Balor, the House.
Yeah.
All those guys. going up there.
Put Frank Reich up there.
Cornelius Bennett.
Oh yeah, the Biscuit.
The Biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, where those are all those guys.
Phil Hansen.
Phil Hansen. Holy shit. Goddamn, that's one I was forgetting. Yeah, man. You know, those are all going up there.
We're recording this today as the Buffalo Bills just lost 47-10 to the New Orleans Saints in Buffalo. In the cold, it wasn't raining or snowing or anything like that, but a dome team went to Buffalo and just knocked the hell out of the Bills today. Ran all over them, 6 rushing touchdowns. First time that's ever happened against the Bills. Terrible performance by the Bills today.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they respond to that. Oh, they probably won't.
The next week I'll find out firsthand. I will be in attendance in Carson.
We'll have to talk about that next time we tape. Maybe can give our fans, because now we have a bit more of a granular stats.
Yeah, I don't, because we were looking on the stats today. We have listeners in Russia, which I had no idea. It kind of blows my mind. And I don't think they care about Buffalo Bills football in
Russia.
Oh, maybe
they do. Maybe the next Pat. Maybe.
Well, wait a minute. Russia and Trump are like two peas in a pod, and Trump did try to buy the Bills.
So. Maybe it was Trump listening in Russia.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm not even bothered to do Trump, but yeah, I can just imagine. Maybe that's how it happened.
Yeah, maybe.
That's how I believe it. He's going to really enjoy this one, though, about this inside wrestling that we promised we're going to do.
Yeah, so it's the book that I bought while we were recording last episode. They had an advertisement, and it was in there, and I just went out on a whim, and I went on eBay and grabbed it.
Nice work, Joe.
And now we're going to talk about it on this episode. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk Victory Sports Wrestling.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we're back, and we've got Inside Wrestling, Victory Sports Series from September of 1987.
Right. Yeah, and this is...
the Hulk Hogan Turban Edition.
The Hulk Hogan Turban.
But he's not wearing a turban. It is confirmed. His head is wrapped in gauze.
Here's the thing. So, as we talked about last episode, you have to excuse me this episode because I am dealing with a cold. So, I feel like Hulk Hogan looks on this cover here.
Oh, okay. He doesn't look very good on this cover.
Well, no, he's standing tall. Mm-hmm. He's standing tall.
But his head is wrapped in gauze and is bleeding.
Yeah, so every time I would see this book, it would always drive me nuts because I would be looking at it and I'd be like, okay, so here he is fighting Holly Race, right? It says Hulk Hogan defeats Holly Race, how fate took the greatness out of this violent feud. And the main photo is a picture of Hulk Hogan and he's standing in the ring. And then every time you would see this picture, it would be in black and white.
Yeah.
And it would be much smaller. And I'd be looking at it and it's like, okay, is Hulk Hogan wearing, because he's got this thing around his head. And I'd be like, oh, he's wearing Harley's crown because he's fighting Hogan, or he's fighting Harley Race, you know, the king of the WWF. And then also, too, I always thought he was wearing the white tights. And now, you know, now when I look at it, obviously in person, you know, we have this color, you know, tangible, it's in our hands now. Which actually is very good condition. Pretty remarkable.
It arrived very well. Like, it was cardboard backing and everything.
So. Yeah, this is actually a very well-cut magazine.
Yeah.
He is wearing a wrapping on his head. And I don't know if this is from the same mat. It looks like it's from like a segment that wasn't. Because he looks like he was like an interview segment because he's wearing his cross.
Yeah.
He's got his head wrapped. There's a little bit of blood on his like right eyebrow. And then he's also wearing the weightlifting belt.
Yeah.
That's a white weightlifting belt, and he's just standing there staring at somebody. And I'm like, what is this from?
My guess is like, so what happened probably is Hulk was attacked by Harley Race at some time during the night. And then this is later on in the night. He comes for his revenge or something.
But is he wear? But he's not wear dressed to wrestle.
Yeah, he's not dressed to wrestle. So.
And why would he?
Or maybe Hulk already wrestled, and then like he was attacked after his match, and then like later on Harley Race was out there doing nefarious things with the Heenan family. And
I don't
Hulk.
Know. I don't know. This looks like it would be from like a. Like an angle, but not like the same angle.
Yeah, they didn't really have angles back then. So, and
well, they didn't have an angle. They just like wrestled. They only thing that happened, at least for as far as I can remember. Maybe I'd have to do more research. But you know, he was Harley Race came in. They had a program with him, but it wasn't like and they would just promote it. But Hogan, it was never a thing like where Hogan would show up on like the talk segments and like I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe I'm missing that stuff.
I don't remember. I do remember they had a match at Saturday night's main event.
Right, that I know.
And it was heavily featured on the WrestleMania VCR game.
Well, that's also the match where Hogan threw Race into the table and he put Race out of action.
Yeah.
Because of that. Because, Harley Race got a big, really bad hernia from hitting the table. And then that's why he went away and they had the whole thing where Harley Race's head was floating in the clouds and, Bobby Heenan was very upset, so they had to make Haku the king, and then Haku was the king, and then Harley Race came back and was like, I want to be king, and then they, they wrestled and Harley Race got his ass kicked, which, can't kick Harley Race's ass, but...
Well, if anyone could kick his ass in a legit fight, it would be
Haku.
Actually,
I take that back. Yeah, Haku. If somebody's going to beat Harley Race clean as a sheet in a legit way, it's going to be Haku.
Maybe that's why they had it as Haku, because it was somebody Harley Race couldn't shoot on in the ring and beat, so...
Well, maybe that was the way Harley wanted it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I know that him and Harley were friends or something. So yeah, I mean that's a good opponent. Yeah, but that's the cover. So that's the main picture on this cover here.
Yeah.
But I still believe that this picture was not a part of this actual angle. Because in the inset you see a picture of an actual match.
Yeah.
Of Hogan with no blood, no makeup, just in his regular gear, giving Harley Race the boot. So also on this cover we have Hated at the very top says Hated. ... and loving it. Tommy Rich and Austin Idol declare themselves Kings of Memphis.
Yeah.
Which that's something now here's the thing. I was kind of reading this while we were watching the Flair thing, but I didn't get to the end of it. Mm-hmm. So some of that I didn't get to that part. And I also didn't get to this thing here too. The New Breed declares war. The fans are ashamed of the Rock and Roll Express.
I don't understand why the fans were ashamed of the Rock and Roll Express.
And why are they declaring war?
Yeah.
Yeah, the New Breed's been interesting because we have a picture of Sean Royal and Chris Champion here doing a pinky swear or the end of a pinky swear.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, having watched some late 87, mid to late 87 WCW or NWA stuff with them in it, it's a weird team, man. It's just some interesting stuff. Them coming out and being like, "Hey, we're from the future," and Dusty Rhodes is president from where we're from. that was their whole gimmick. No. Dusty Rhodes is president, and then the one time Chris Champion got into a car accident, and then he came back with like a thing on his wrist, and it was like, "Oh, there's circuitry on there." And they said, "Oh, he's from the future. This is how he's healing." But they came in and they were like feuding with the Midnight Express a bunch, and it was always kind of hard though because they were faces, but they wrestled like heels.
Yeah.
Especially like Sean Champion, Sean Royal. Sean Royal, he was kind of like a proto Randy Orton. Like if you watch him on this, if you watch matches with him and you kind of watch like young Randy Orton or even Randy Orton in general, he feels a lot like, he looks a lot like, and he just wrestles a lot like Randy Orton. Just a big, lanky guy. He had like really like sloppy finishers. Like he used like the shitty version of a Texas Cloverleaf. Like, not like how Dean Malenko would do it, but kind of like how, like, you would do it if you were playing, like, WWE, like, Attitude, WWF Attitude. And they'd be like, here's D'Lo's Cloverleaf. And it was just like they would just kind of slightly cross the legs and turn the guy over. Mm-hmm. It was weird. That's how his looked. And then he would use, like, a tombstone and stuff. But I made a really good version of him in the last year's WWE game. Actually, and Chris Champion, too. Chris Champion went out to be Cowabunga, the wrestling turtle. So, yeah, but that's the cover. And we'll just jump through this book here, jumping right into the letters page. I do like these letters pages because I did read through these letters pages. It's a very angry letters
pages. Yeah, especially towards Scott LaDuke.
Well, Scott LaDuke, first of all, this person's very upset with Scott LaDuke. I think it's LaDuke.
Yeah.
Because it's like Chris LaDuke.
Yeah, Scott LaDuke. Yeah.
I want to say LaDuke, but Chris.
No, it's Joe LaDuke and Scott LaDuke. That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we pointed that out. Scott LaDuke was a former referee And then he became like a competitor, but he was also like a, he was kind of like a Ronnie Garvin kind of character referee. Mm-hmm. And he would like take the faces, you know, he would show favor to the faces and stuff like that. And this person's like, he's like, oh, I was watching the match and the Rockers were in the ring together at once for 11 seconds. How can that be?
It's 11 like shoot seconds.
11 shoot seconds. He counted it. He was sitting there with the timer and they were in the ring for 11 seconds. They should have been disqualified, but goddamn it, they didn't. So he was, that's Andy Redman from Maryland.
Oh.
From Maryland, of course, you know, because, which is always amuses me because they'll always have like people that write these letters and they'll be like places that I'm like, where do you watch this shit?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, you probably get like ESPN to watch it.
That's probably where he was watching
it. He does say ESPN, but I mean, it's still, it's like, I don't know, man.
I was watching it on ESPN as well, so, yeah.
And then there's another AWA, anti-AWA letter. This one directed at AWA announcer Larry Nelson, RIP. I think RIP, right?
I don't know.
We had to bring the show to a screeching halt, Sean.
Presumed dead.
Presumed dead, RIP. Larry Nelson talking about how Larry Nelson won't tell us exactly what's going on with Scott Hall. Because I love how like little people write in letters and be like, hey, this guy ain't breaking kayfabe. And I'm like, what do you, that's just not what they do. I mean, you just accepted that back in the day. If the WWF is not going to talk about, you know, what happened to Tom Zink after WrestleMania 3, then they're just not going to talk about him. He just isn't there anymore. And then I'll watch some other show, and he'll be on that show. Or I'll read this magazine, and it'll be like, Tom Zink showed up in Portland. Oh, great, there's Tom Zink.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get mad at the announcer for not being like, well, Scott Hall actually, you know, lying and saying, well, Scott Hall is, you know, recuperating, or he's just not here or whatever. And there's like, well, tell us he went to Florida. I'm like, whatever. He's not there.
Yeah.
So
get over yourself.
Get over yourself. Jeff Sharkey from Hortonville, Wisconsin. Now I know for a fact he watches AWA because that's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, and then they're dishing on, there's another letter here dishing on the Von Erichs. He's like, Von Erichs suck ass.
No, they don't.
Yeah, well, he's like, well, the Von Erichs, you know, they couldn't beat Flair. They couldn't beat Rick Rude. And
did Rick Rude really get it over on the Von Erichs before he left? Did he, like, beat them and then leave? I don't think that's how it happened.
I don't know. Actually, so speaking of the World Class, did you know that they've uploaded up to, like, late 88 of World Class?
Yeah, I got the email that they uploaded, like, over 80 episodes.
And I'm watching them.
And I was like, that's cool, but I haven't got around to watching them yet. So.
Well, hey, I'm doing that now.
All right.
I'm watching from 87 on. I'm watching 86 on.
Okay.
I'm watching from 86 and we'll try to catch up to the end because I want to see how that goes. I want to see Ted Arcidi show up.
So David's already dead by the time you started watching it.
Yeah, Dave died in 84. Kerry hasn't gotten to his car accident or his bike accident yet.
So he's got both feet.
Yeah. Mike hasn't passed away yet. Speaking of Mike, well, we'll get to, yeah, actually, you know what?
Yeah, I think he's mentioned in here. Yeah.
He's mentioned here. Well, real, before we get to that, there's a really well-done article in here about Afa's son, the Tahitian prince.
Oh.
Who is going to become, I think, Samu in the Samoan, the, you know, Samoan SWAT team and stuff like that. And they're talking about, but this is like in between that, where he went to Florida and pretended he was like a Samoan playboy.
Oh.
But he was like an island playboy, and they're basically kind of trying to like, kind of the way this article is written is like the interviewer is like, so your father is Afa? And it's like, yes. And he's like, Afa, so he's your dad? He's like, yes. But they call you the Tahitian prince. He's like, yes. He's like, why is that? It's like, well, I've been to Tahiti and they think I'm pretty great. So I'm the Tahitian prince.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, and they're like, but your father's Afa and you not the Prince of Samoa or something. He's like, no, I'm the Tahitian prince. And so he's talking about how he's like, well, I saw how my father would get shit out of into opportunities and I don't want that. So I'm going to like do better and stuff. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go to all these places and would be the Samoan Ric Flair.
Maybe he drank a lot of that soda, the Tahitian treat.
Tahitian treat.
Maybe he drank that. That's why they call him the Tahitian prince.
Actually, that'd be a great gimmick.
He was like, listen, I really enjoy the Tahitian treat. Therefore, I'm the Tahitian prince.
That'd be a great gimmick. That'd be a great gimmick. I would be the Coke Zero Cherry King of Memphis.
Yeah.
Because I could be the King of Memphis, but I could be the Diet Coke Zero Cherry.
I don't even know where to get Tahitian Treat anymore, if they still make it or not.
Didn't that get replaced by, like, because that was, like, the carbonated version of Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And it was delicious.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
You can get that in Buffalo, I think. I think that was
that's, like, I used to see it.
I don't think I've seen it anywhere else.
I saw it. There used to be a little grocery store when I lived in Hollywood, and they used to sell it there. In Hollywood and Highland, the Whitley Market, it was called.
Mm.
And they used to sell it there. But last time I was in there, they didn't have it. I actually went looking for it. They also had Cherry RC at that.
Really?
They no longer carry there.
Wow.
Either. Yeah.
Cherry RC.
Yeah. Which was excellent, by the way.
You know, I was never on the RC Cola train.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that RC Cola was kind of, and I hate saying this, it was the lower class soda.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
I mean, it is, but...
I always also associate that the perfect pairing for RC Cola are Wise. Wise cheese puffs.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that's the thing. If you're having a party in Buffalo, you had to put out a bowl of Wise cheese puffs, or was it Troyer Farms?
Troyer Farms.
Troyer Farms
is the way... Yeah, Troyer Farms.
Troyer Farms, cheese puffs, and whatever you're just talking about, RC Cola.
Yeah, I would think more Faygo over there.
I don't know. Where does Faygo rank? Is it lower or higher than RC?
I think they're about equal footing.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'd actually put RC a little above them, actually.
I feel like that, too. I feel like that was...
Only because RC's the 7-Up cola. Like, that's the same company.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper,
RC. I always thought that was more of like a local, but it was like a lower... Yeah. So it's a lower rent 7-Up.
Yeah. Like, if you go to the Anaheim Ducks, their official soft drink is 7-Up, so they have RC Cola in their fountains.
Yeah.
And they have Diet RC, which is weird, because in the stores, when you buy it, it's Diet Right.
Right, right.
Yeah, but at the Ducks, it's Diet RC.
How about that?
And Diet Right is actually pretty refreshing for a diet soda. It's not bad. I actually don't mind it.
Mm.
But I usually go with Coke Zero or the generic version of Coke Zero.
If only we had a YouTube show to test soda on, we could talk about
it. Well, we did at one point. But that's when I don't like the idea of doing it with diet soda. I really don't. I don't think that's like...
I don't want to do it with...
Like, that's why RIP Joe and Sean drink soda pop, because we've stopped drinking sugar and...
At least try it.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I can't even... If we were to do it, it would have to be like one episode. Like, we would record like four different sodas at once. Like, we would have to do it and we'd just do one and that's it. And then and it would just be a waste of time.
Yeah.
So... Unless we actually did it while we taped this. I don't know. I think it's RIP Joe and Sean drinks soda pop.
Yeah.
And go on YouTube and enjoy the episodes that are there. There's like a dozen of them, maybe 13. And we drank a lot of soda. And it used to be our thing. It used to be our jam. But we realized we shouldn't do that.
No.
We should try something else, though.
Yeah.
But not soda pop.
How about Joe and Sean collect these NWA t-shirts and wear them?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, you got these we got a little order here thing for by Charlotte Sports Promotions, where you can purchase NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions merchandise, including shirts from the Rock and Roll Express, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, which the Dusty Rhodes shirt, you can't really see the shirts that well, but the Dusty Rhodes shirt, Dusty Rhodes is the one of him wearing that big hat he's worn sometimes.
Oh.
You see that? Like, he's not. He's just.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got that big stovetop hat that he has.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then you have and this is the shirt that I want. I want the Raging Bull, Rick Rude, and Paul Jones shirt.
Man, that is an amazing shirt.
That's a shirt I need.
Yeah,
that's a shirt. I'll wear that. I'll wear that right now. I'll wear that to the next formal function I have.
I would wear that to any wrestling event I would go to.
If I was invited to a holiday, Christmas party or a Halloween party, I'm gonna wear that and say I'm going as the '80s. I'm going as a worker from the '80s as a costume, because I $15. God damn it! I wish that was still around today.
Yeah, because even if that were to show up on eBay, it would be a minimum $300. I think.
I also do like this Magnum TA shirt. That they're like, we've got to get a Magnum TA shirt, and the best we can do is a picture of him in a bow tie.
Yeah, he's like, he's already been injured.
Yeah,
he's been injured. He's already an announcer.
He's already retired.
Yeah, that's probably from like a pay per view event.
And they have a random Barry Windham shirt. Just says Windham. But I want the Bull and Rude shirt.
I want that shirt too. It's an amazing shirt.
I want anything with Paul Jones on it. Please give that to me. Names making news. A few things to note here. Two things to note, and one thing that I just realized because I was suffering from the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
First of which, well, we'll get that out of the way. This is the issue that reports Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Iron Sheik have been arrested.
Yeah.
Because they were doing the A to the Z and they're driving up and down the New Jersey Turnpike.
I like how they kept it kayfabe. We don't know why they were driving together because they're rivals.
So. Yeah. There's no official word why these men believed to be rivals were traveling together.
Yeah.
Gee, well, maybe because one had the gimmick bag and the one didn't.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The date is May 27th. I, for years, had believed that this was on May 26th, my birthday, and it's not. It was on May 27th. Unless if I read it somewhere else, it said May 26th, but
it's possible.
Or maybe they got arrested at 11:59 on May
26th. That's also possible.
It is also possible.
Yeah, it's also possible. It's not really worthy of a Mandela effect, I feel.
I don't know. I'm pretty let down by that.
Yeah. I think the Mandela effect is stupid, by the way. If you think Mandela died in the 80s, you're an idiot.
He was alive well.
Yeah, he did not die in the 80s. You guys are morons. Stop thinking that.
Also, Sinbad did not do a genie movie.
No, now he did. They actually made it.
Well, yeah, they had to make it because of the fucking hipster-ass shit, but he did not make it in the 80s.
Yeah.
Sinbad was, he was just doing his other things.
Yeah.
Okay, so but the other things in here, the Boris Zhukov and Stanislas Ustinov, which I love. I love that name.
Yeah, that's a great name.
I love that. That's a good wrestler. Stanislas is a great name for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Stanislas?
Stanislas.
I'm Stanislas. Stanislas. But they regained the titles from the tag team, AWA tag team titles from the Midnight Rockers. AWA insiders have claimed that the Rockers' reckless partying style is ultimately what cost them the championship, but the Rockers deny the charge.
I think that's breaking kayfabe.
That is. I feel like this is somebody that was writing this. Bill After was probably like, hey, just to let you know, these guys aren't on the up and up. We're gonna kind of put that out there, but and obviously Marty and Sean partied the hardest.
They did
party the hardest. So upset are the Rockers by what has happened is that they've begun negotiations to wrestle in the WWF, which they did for a week,
mm-hmm.
and then they went back to the AWA
because they partied there too.
They partied way too hard there.
Yeah.
Andrew WK would be proud.
Well, wasn't it Marty Jannetty and didn't like him and Jimmy Jack Funk get into some kind of scuffle or something?
Probably.
And that's what happened. That was their downfall after a couple weeks.
When in doubt, blame Jimmy Jack Funk. That's what I say.
It's usually his fault.
Usually his fault.
Yeah.
And also the other thing here too, this is where Mike Von Erich comes in. So Mike Von Erich passed away, I think it was April, April.
R.I.P. Mike Von Erich.
R.I.P. Mike Von Erich. So they're talking about how... So in World Class, following two emergency meetings of World Class officials, Dingo Warrior and Tony Atlas have been reinstated the World Class Texas Tag Team Champion and the World Class TV Champion, respectively. The titles have been declared vacant due to Dingo and Atlas not defending the belts within the specified 30-day time limit, but both men made appeals to the World Class brass on the basis of what they termed were extenuating circumstances, because... According to the World Class, they had a point. They claimed their requests for title matches were ignored in the state of disarray following the suicide of Mike Von Erich. So they blamed Mike Von Erich for getting their titles stripped.
That would be true.
That kind of makes sense.
I don't think any of this actually happened. I think that they're just making this up for the magazine. I don't think there was ever like a time on TV. I could be wrong. I don't know. I didn't watch World Class, but was there a time on TV?
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Where they were like, oh yeah, we're going to strip Tony Atlas and Dingo Warrior of their titles because they didn't defend them. And then they'd have to have like two separate tournaments.
Well, that's what they think happened, is they were like, oh, we don't want to have tournaments.
Yeah.
Insider by Eddie Ellner. News item, Jailbird Ken Patera returns to the WWF.
This article's great.
Oh, did you like this one?
Yeah, I read through this article. This one's great.
Well, this is basically, we'll go ahead and break it down for people.
Well, basically, so Ken Patera, he just got out of prison for throwing a rock through a window in a McDonald's. I didn't realize he was in prison for like 2 years because of that. Oh, that's probably because he beat up the cops afterwards.
Yeah, I think it was the rock would have been enough, but him and Saito, I think, beat up the cops.
Yeah. So then, Eddie Ellner's, because I guess he went back as a face, And Eddie Ellinger's like, you can't trust him because he's been hanging around with like lowlifes for the last 2 years in prison, like drug dealers and other scumbags. And he's just going to turn on Hulk Hogan. And I was like, I don't know where you make that connection, but I like it. I like where you're going. So.
I think that what they if had Patera not been such a dud of a worker when he came back, because that's basically what happened. He came back and he just wrestled like shit. And I think everybody was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we're not going to put our chips on this guy. And then he started jobbing right away, pretty much. But I think what would have been great is if he would have, you know, he would have been Hogan's buddy. He could have been the superpowers, you see, him and Patera, the American superpowers. And just as Hogan defeat, you know, Hercules and Andre or something in a match. And Hogan, they're raising the hand up. And then Patera produces a shiv from his tights and shank. He shanks Hogan.
Yeah.
And we do the shank angle.
Yeah, this is prison rules.
Prison rules. And he goes, he's like, this is my yard, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just cut up. And then Patera just cuts a bunch of promos going back to the prison yard willingly to work out. And that's how he trains for his match with Hogan at WrestleMania 4.
Would he have like a workout buddy with like in prison? Yes. Just like this big jacked dude.
This is how you introduce Big Boss Man.
Oh, yeah.
This is how you bring a Big Boss Man. He's like, hey, you're a prison guard. And he's like, and then he comes to the ring with Big Boss Man. And then that's how we introduce Big Boss Man into the WWF. And he's the prison guard. And he just take it from there. You could have drew so much money with this, guys.
I don't think an inmate would hang out with a guard, though. That's the thing.
No, because they're in on it together. No, he's going back willingly.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going back. He's on the inside. He's got heat with the prisoners, trying to actually rehabilitate themselves, because he's a heel for that. But he's also a heel because he's still a prisoner, and he turned on Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a heel to everybody.
Yeah. So does he just go there to work out, or does he go there to live?
He goes there to live. He's like Piper. He goes there and lives there for a week, but for longer. That's where he lives. And every time you see his entrance, we see him coming out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to go to a local prison to stay, and then he comes to the ring, and he comes out of the prison because Big Boss Man comes and gets him. So and then they go to the ring, and then that's how he comes to the arena.
So every time he goes to prison, do they have to like strip search him like they do every time you enter a prison?
Well, yeah, because he had a shank. He stabbed Hogan with it. You gotta make sure we gotta see that.
Yeah, so he's done. Like, he goes to the matches, he wrestles, he goes to the prison, he strips naked, has guards look in his butthole, and then he goes to bed for the night.
Right. He develops like a stable too. Like, he gets like, that's where he meets like Zeus. Like, Zeus will be there too. That's where we'll find Zeus there.
Yeah.
We'll take who else they ain't using at the time? Scott Casey. Scott Casey can be a part of his stable. We can have, and then we got the Survivor Series. We got Hogan's Maniacs against Patera's prison buddies.
Yeah.
For Patera's prison pals.
You could have introduced Nails too as a face in all this. Like, they could have bullied Nails.
Maybe Nails could have been Patera's son.
Yeah.
I don't know. Son of Patera.
Patera's prison pals. This is an angle I want to see played out in WWE 2K18, I feel.
I know. I think we need to find a way. We need like a prison match. We need to find a way to, because we can't write around dialogue anymore.
No,
in the game,
I know. Yeah,
can't be like, oh, I was in prison. We can't have a thing where he shanks Hogan. we don't have that ability to produce a foreign object and stab it at Hogan's side. Oh man. Anyways, I just thought of that, and I think that's brilliant. On assignment, talk about Kurt Hennig in 87. Who cares? Chris Adams, do you want to buy a shirt?
The Chris Adams International Fan Club.
International Fan Club.
Yeah, look at that photo that you gave.
It's a very sensual ad. I'm kind of a little bit taken aback because I feel it's really appealing to women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think dudes are supposed to be into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can get yourself a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, an oversized nightshirt, and a solid white satin jacket with Chris's, it says, the trademarked British logo on the back.
Oh.
With his logo and stuff.
I think I'm good.
Oh, yeah, we're
good. I don't think I need one.
4 to 6 newsletters a year.
Oh, wow.
Containing, get this, up-to-date wrestling information, Chris Adams interview column, personal correspondence page featuring your very own snapshot section, fan of the month feature, trivia contest, and your chance to meet gentleman himself through an exclusive Evening with Chris Adams contest and so much more.
I don't want to spend an evening with Chris Adams.
I think this is how Steve Austin actually got broke into the business.
Oh, that's how he broke in. Like, and not only did he do
God damn, I've been lying the whole time.
Not only did he break in, like, through that contest. I was a fan club member. But he took his wife. Like, that's the ultimate insult to injury there.
That's how they did the angle. But how, man, can you imagine if that was how they started the angle? It's like, I was your fan club president, and I broke in, and I stole your wife, and I stole your satin jacket, and your satin bandana, and I've been wearing...
Oh, man, world class was missing a million-dollar idea there.
Man, we could have saved that territory.
Yeah.
News for the Wrestling Capitals, we got some matches.
What interesting that in these matches we got...
Ooh, we got an LA one.
Davey Boy Smith versus Bret Hart with two T's. Yeah. But next to it, you see One Man Gang versus Big Bubba Rogers. Never knew they had a match together like
that. Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Well, that's who he won the UWF title from.
Oh, I had no idea. So what, was One Man Gang a face?
No, they just brought... I think what happened was, this is when Crockett bought out the territory... And then they just started sending over guys to that territory. And Bubba was one of the guys they sent over.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put him over One Man Gang. Because I think One Man Gang was leaving to come to the WF. So they put him over. And then Steve Williams beat Bubba for the title.
Oh.
And then that was that's how it all ended up. But
yeah. Just had Steve Williams beat Gang.
Yeah, actually, this is where he wins the title from.
Oh, okay.
Because it tells us the two giants met. The brawl, blah, 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 shoulder blocks. OMG got up in the ropes and pounded on Bubba. Bubba Rogers took Rogers down with the clothesline, went for the 747 splash from the second rope but missed. Bubba got up, went to the top rope, did a splash, and pinned OMG for the title.
Wow.
Man, that was a slobber knocker. Also on the title, we have Chris Adams and Terry Taylor versus Bob Bradley and the Red Devil. Steve Cox versus Super Ninja. Chavo Guerrero versus Destroyed. He destroyed Mike Boyette.
I'm assuming that was a squash match.
I like when they say destroyed because it makes it look like, like there's nothing left of Mike Boyette. And Rick Steiner and Sting defeated Jeff Raitt and Mike Reed. That sounds like an underwhelming UWF card.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of that.
Hulk Hogan took on Harley Race.
Yeah.
In Richfield, Ohio.
That's right.
Was that the Saturday night's main event?
No, but that might have been... That was the first... that was the home of the first Survivor Series.
Oh, that might have been where what happened on the cover took place.
Yeah, maybe. I do want to point out this LA card. I want to point out how lame this card sounds because I don't know if they mentioned everything. So you got Davey Boy. Danny Davis interfered and knocked out Davey Boy, and Bret Hart beat him. But also on this card, this is what you have. You got Can-Ams v. Kamala and Sika. Rick Steamboat defeated Tiger Chung Lee. And then Brutus Beefcake beat Johnny V and cut his hair.
Yeah, that's a terrible card.
That you can't tell me there's more matches on this card, but if that's all there is, sucks to be in LA, guys. So
where was that? At the sports arena? The Forum?
It doesn't say. It just says Los Angeles. Does not say where exactly it was.
I'm gonna guess it was at
the sports arena.
At the sports arena, yeah.
Well, no, they usually would run the Forum though, I feel like. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think I'm guessing the sports arena.
Yeah. Where are they now? Don Curtis, Bill Watts. Bill Watts, he's right there.
Yeah.
Bill Watts, he's started also a partner in the Tulsa Piper, an aircraft sales and service company based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm also dabbling in real estate, reported Watts. There's a real challenge there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to need it because UWF was hitting some hard times, man. Freddie Blassie, doing PR work for the WWF. He likes to cook and play golf in his spare time.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, and then Bulldog Brower. And then we get a thing of the Honky Tonk Man, and we kind of goes through his career.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I read that, and I like his little comments that he makes after everything.
Because he basically just goes, like, because he had this really cool career, like, in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like...
I like how he took time off for a couple of years to go work for his girlfriend's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't say what his business was, but he just went to go work for his girlfriend's father's business. Quote, you do some crazy things when you're in love. 2 years later, he started wrestling in Tennessee and then Florida, Portland, and California. He had to get back and needed the action. And then he went back to Canada, and then he won some titles. And then he came to the WWF after Paul Orndorff double-crossed Hogan. Hulk was my friend once. I wanted to help him out. And then we just all kind of go from there.
It all went downhill.
All went downhill for Honky Tonk. Can Mike Rotundo or Survivor feud with Kevin Sullivan?
I think he not only would survive, but he would take him on as his manager.
He did. Yeah. That's right. They became friends.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, like a year after, like probably like a year, actually not too long after this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is like mid-87. So like by late 87, they were already, he was already like becoming like early 88. Like they, yeah, that's when the Varsity Club started. So I do like that somebody has a fan signed here. It says Kevin Sullivan, number one.
Number one.
That's me. It's me back in the day.
That's me now.
That's me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to hold up that sign. Yeah, we talk
about it. Yeah, if we ever go to, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, we should bring that sign. Kevin Sullivan, number one.
Because he is.
Yeah.
The ratings, the official ratings here, I do want to point out the WWF ratings, right? Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan, number one. Andre the Giant, number 15.
Wow.
This is right after WrestleMania. You'd think he would still be up there. But you've got, you know, all these other members of the Heenan family ahead of him. You know, because you got Harley and Hercules and, well, that's it. But, yeah, all these other guys ahead of him. Cowboy Bob Orton's even ahead of him. Where's Greg Valentine? How come he's not getting shots? Anything else you want to say about these ratings here?
Well, wasn't Greg Valentine a tag team wrestler?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He might even be in the...
He was with Dino Bravo at that time.
Yeah, he's not in these ratings here, no. But... You know, we're still up on High and Can-Am, though.
Yeah.
They're still here, you know, the tag teams. And I do want to point out here, AWA International or Southern Tag Team Champions, Jack Hart and Chick Donovan.
Oh.
Jack Hart, a.k.a. Barry Horowitz.
Oh, okay.
I was not aware that he won that title. It was a champion down there. And he did win the title from Rocky Johnson and Soul Train Jones, a.k.a. Virgil. I feel like that's I could talk kayfabe. Tournament that needs to happen. I need to go back into the AWA Southern listings and find a few guys to make
Soul Train Jones.
Well, that was Virgil.
That's a cool name.
I don't know why they just didn't keep that.
Yeah,
he would have got over.
That's what they should have changed. They should have changed it to that after he left DiBiase.
He should have. Yeah. Yeah, he should have went back to being Soul Train. Grew out his hair. Could have been a star. But Hulk Hogan defeats Harley Race. How fate took the greatness out of this violent feud.
I didn't know they had a violent feud.
Well, he did. There was tables involved.
Yeah.
There was table spots involved in this feud. That's pretty violent. But basically, they're just talking about how, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, this would have been a good feud, you know, 5 or 10 years ahead of time. But because they did wrestle, you know, in the past or yeah. before. But back in like 83 before Hogan came over to the WWF, but yeah, they're saying that maybe he could have, you know, this could have been good, but
I think there's a photo of the old match.
There's a photo of that match. That's a really cool photo, actually, by the way. Look at Hogan with abs and everything, man. He's looking awesome.
He's looking like current day Hogan. Have you seen Hogan lately? Oh, just ripped.
I don't know. I can't. He's got me blocked on Twitter.
You're still blocked on Twitter, yeah.
I can't see what he's up to.
Every now and then he'll post on his Facebook. He's just ripped now, just like abs for days.
Hated and loving it. Austin Idol and Tommy Rich declared themselves kings of Memphis.
It's a really cool photo of them posing with Paulie. I actually posted it on my Instagram.
Oh, did you? Yeah, this is a good photo.
I thought it was a really cool photo.
This is, but Paulie takes great, like, great photos like this. He's good for that.
I was looking at this while watching the Bills game because that's how interested I was in that game.
Yeah, and they're just super heels in Memphis, man, having a good old time. You know, they've cut Jerry Lawler's hair, and it's a good time in Memphis. They're making all sorts of money.
Eddie Gilbert, he's dedicating himself to this life to the UWF title.
Wait, was he UWF champion?
I don't think so.
Because he was TV champion.
Yeah, and then he was managing Sting and Rick Steiner.
Right. He decided to stop managing and stick to wrestling. He hired Dick Murdoch as a coach advisor and set his sights on Bubba Rogers' UWF title. So basically, yeah, he's basically become like a heel. He's become a wrestler, and he's going to, you know, him and Dick Murdoch are, because basically, like, they just went after, because I remember reading this, it was a Pro Wrestling's main event where Bubba Rogers lost the title to Steve Williams, and then they just went after Steve Williams. They tried to break his arm. I think they broke his arm and stuff. And there's this real graphic article about how it's like, oh, you can hear the crunch, because they basically did like a pilmanized Williams' arm. So, yeah. First question, Eddie. How's Missy? Wouldn't you like to know, Rosenbaum? Well, she is a beautiful young woman, although it seems a little misdirected at times. It didn't take much time for her to decide that the WWF wasn't for her, did it? Man, I've never seen that tape of her in the WWF.
I've never seen it either, but I remember
it exists.
I just remember reading an old wrestling magazine where they had like saying she was heading there, and then that's
That's all they talked. I feel like that's all they talked about.
Yeah,
when she was headed there, and then she flaked, and then she came back.
Yeah,
she was something else, man. Because actually, if you watch these old World Class episodes, that's where she debuts. Mm-hmm. She shows up with Jack Tatum because this is when she's with Jack Tatum, and she shows up and like. I'll tell you, man, if I was a kid, you know, I mean, I'm still feeling, I see it today, but like, you know, if I was like a kid, you know, kid in Memphis, you know, teenage kid in Memphis, and you saw her come trotting out because she didn't wear any bras. She was, you know, you didn't see like a woman like her.
Yeah.
That come trotting through your wrestling territory. She was something else. And it's no wonder that she ended up becoming, pretty big star in those days. And it's kind of a shame that she never got her due in WWF. I feel like she would have really, she would have made a lot of money. I feel like it was a very missed opportunity with her. But, you know, he's basically just talking about, you know, being Eddie Gilbert. Oh, yeah, they already did try to break Steve Williams' arm.
There it is.
Yeah, this is all about that. So, because he's trying to, you know, trying to get that title shot, trying to get a shot there, and him and Dick Murdoch. Dick Murdoch was awesome.
Yeah, that's a guy I would call for as a wrestling coach. I'd be like, Dick, I need your help. And he'd probably, you know, what are you going to pay me? Like a 6-pack of beer? Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, if you paid him good, he'd help you out, man. You'd be fucking, that's if I was playing a wrestling game and Dick Murdoch was an ally I had to choose, I would choose Dick Murdoch every time. Dick Murdoch wants to help you form a tag team. Goddamn right. Let's hang out, Dick Murdoch. So, okay, here we go. New Breed declares war on the Rock and Roll Express. Because the fans are ashamed. Sean Royal and the Trish Champion, the New Breed, may be a little strange. They have shaved their heads oddly and claim to be for the future, but their wrestling tactics are very, very dangerous. Now their number one target, the Rock and Roll Express. And they're also shooting, they're gunning towards Jimmy Valiant and Lasertron.
Oh, look out.
Watch out, Jimmy Valiant. See, I didn't read this article. I don't know exactly what the problem is.
I didn't really read it either. I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I do remember mentioning of Lasertron, and I was like, oh, well, that should be interesting.
Well, here's the thing. They're from the year 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to read this article here. You know what? You want to know all about the New Breed, don't you? Well, it's an utter impossibility to understand what the New Breed is all about because we are the future of wrestling. We are the year 2002.
Wow.
And the year 2002, there is no Jimmy Valiant, no Lasertron, and no Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, yeah. He was right on all accounts for that, really.
Well, I mean, as far as mainstream wrestling goes, like Jimmy Valiant and Rock and Roll Express are still wrestling. Lasertron was long gone.
Yeah. Lasertron's a cool place to go play laser tag in Buffalo.
Yes. Well, no. Is it Lasertron?
Yeah, Lasertron.
Lasertron. Because they wanted to use laser tag, but they couldn't.
Yeah.
But even though he wore the laser tag thing on his chest. We've already been the instruments of elimination for Lasertron and Jimmy Valiant. And now, I want to see that, actually. I have to go back and see if I can find that footage of them eliminating Jimmy Valiant. Because I want to see it that they actually shot him with a laser. And all that was left was his beard and a do-rag.
That would be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty great. And then somehow they had to regrow him like Groot. And that's how Jimmy Valiant is continued today. He's just a regrown beard and do-rag. The reason is that by the time 2002 has come and gone, the fans have woken up to the simplistic and insulting reality that is the Rock and Roll Express. By the time 2002 has come and gone, the truth of the matter is that the fans are ashamed of the Rock and Roll Express. So they know in the future that the Rock and Roll Express have shamed themselves.
I don't think anyone was ashamed of the Rock and Roll Express in 2002.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody.
I mean, I would be ashamed if I had to watch one of their matches in 2002, like of them 2002 versions.
Yeah.
Not ashamed of 1987 Rock and Roll Express, no.
No, not at all. Indeed, 15 years from today is 2002, where we've been partying like it's 1999 for 3 years already. That is where the soul of the New Breed is bred, and that is where the tomorrow of wrestling is coming from. Today, you might as well be bygone history, because tomorrow will be here sooner than you think.
I'm thinking back to 1999. I did do a lot of partying that year, so I think
that would have been that was in college. I was living it up.
I partied like it was 1999 that year. I definitely did.
Sure did.
Yeah. One-on-one, you got the phone conversation between Nick Bockwinkel and Kurt Hennig. And it's pretty funny how Nick Bockwinkel tries to bury Hennig's dad. And he's like, you're bad stock. Your dad's never amounted to anything. And yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah, basically. And then he's like, my dad was a tag team champ. What are you talking about?
And so is Nick Bockwinkel.
And he's like, you were 20 years ago. Now it's my turn and whatever.
Move aside, old man. It's time for Kurt Hennig. And then, you know, he's kind of right. And I think eventually they went that route, but I think by that time it was kind of too late because Kurt Hennig was going to be great no matter what, and he was going to show up at the places where he could show up in WWF and make that his home. So real quick, here's another magazine that I've always wanted to look at here because this is this picture of Steamboat and Savage fighting in a cage. And it's just the way that it's positioned. It's like it's Savage's back, but you see Steamboat's head.
Oh, yeah.
And Steamboat's hair is like he's kind of looks like George Washington, mm-hmm. but he's bloodied. And it's always just like from that angle, it's always looked really weird. So that's a magazine. If you're looking for the next magazine to pick up, we might want to see that. Might want to do this one.
Well, we got a whole stack of magazines to go through.
Oh, we got plenty. Yeah.
So that might be on the back list.
Yeah, we got plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the issue as it is, you know. Yeah, we have the
I want to go back.
You want to talk about the Galaxy?
Yeah. So we've talked about the IWF wrestling one before. This one is Here Comes Wrestling. Here Comes the Future of Wrestling. Step aside, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Kevin Von Erich. We have Star Warrior and Wolf. And Bruton Massacre are the name.
I used to read this a lot back in the day.
So it's a playing card game of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Wolf here. Move over Roddy Piper. There's never been a loner like Wolf. Make no mistake. Wolf is an animal. His savage face claw is bloody torture. And guess what? Wolf is a hero. Wait until you see the villains. Currently ranked number 5.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Well, yeah, Bruton Massacre. Set up the cage. Massacre and Brute are the Federation's biggest headbangers. A word of warning, don't invite them over for dinner. Brute is liable to pile drive your mother through the kitchen floor. I always used to read that and imagine some guy pile driving my mom through the kitchen floor.
It reminds me of the promo that Arn Anderson cut when he turned on Dustin Rhodes and said he was so mean he'd slap his granny for 50 cents.
Arn Anderson cut some great promos.
Yeah,
let's not forget about him, man. He is pretty great. But that's it. Oh, let me get some letters. Yeah, we have some more remaining letters. Here's one of those, like, there's always like a one letter in these magazines that talks about how great Sergeant Slaughter is.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's not around, they're like, he's like Poochie in these books. It's like, hey, Sergeant Slaughter, remember him?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I remember him, whatever, who cares, he isn't around. He's G.I. Joe. He's driving the Warthog. All right, that's what we're doing.
Was that the name of the vehicle he came with?
We had the one tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave him the Warthog.
Oh, okay.
Which is the one which came with the Slaughter in the outfit that you would never see him wear anywhere.
That's the Slaughter I had because I had that vehicle.
Because he had a removable hat.
Yeah.
The first one didn't have a removable hat, and this one looked more like the Slaughter that we all know. But that's the one I have. And my brother, he got the Warthog, and we had that Slaughter. And then, right, because there was three Slaughters. I think there was three Slaughters.
Yeah, and then there was the Slaughters Marauders. The
Slaughters Marauders was basically just a repainted.
Yeah.
Well, there was actually technically four Slaughters. Because there was the very first Slaughter wore the tank top with the USA on it. And he was basically, they just repainted that one and made that, just gave him a black tank top with the camo pants. And then they repainted that one again for the Slaughters Marauders. And he had the blue tank top with the camo pants.
I had that one too.
Right, but then they came out the one with the Warthog, and that was a different mold.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
Okay, so I had the second one and the third one, I think.
Yeah, so that's how you had your Slaughters. Very important. Very important you know about your Slaughters.
Yeah.
But that's it about Inside Wrestling from September 1987. I think it was well worth the purchase.
Yeah, so do I. I'm glad that we learned a little more about the New Breed.
I know, the New Breed, man, go back and watch those on the network. It's pretty fucking wild just watching them. And they weren't around for very long.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shame because I kind of wanted to see where they would pan out. And Sean Royal was, he had an interesting charisma.
I now know that Techno Team 2000 is just a New Breed ripoff.
It pretty much was, but they didn't let, I don't know, I feel like they never, I mean, granted, I wasn't really watching around that time, like, religiously. So I don't know if they got, like, a lot of airtime to talk. They probably didn't. I know they wrestled a few matches and they just kind of showed up.
Yeah.
Like there really wasn't a gimmick. Like these guys were like, these guys are from the future and here they are. And they came and they had like their outfits. It just was, you know, they had like the big shoulders and stuff. They had a great thing going back then. And I'm kind of disappointed that they were kind of wasted in the NWA because I feel like the WWF would have really took it to another level. And I feel like they probably could have, you know, they could have stood out better. But, you know, so be it. But shout out to Sean Royal, who spells his name the way that I don't. But I'll forgive him for that. But anyways, that's
how does he spell it? With a U?
No, he spells it with an S-E-A-N.
Oh, the Dean version. Scene.
Scene.
Yeah.
And he spells it scene. So
yeah.
Well, that's it for this show. Thanks for listening. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean, as well as my other podcast, Worst Collection Ever, with my wife, where we talk about comic books.
Sweatpants Joe, Instagram and Twitter. You can also like our Facebook page and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, please. That really helps the podcast grow. Mm-hmm. I noticed we did get a couple of ratings, so thank you for those. And
we got traction on our Facebook page too. People talking about the game.
Yeah.
People
aren't fans of the game, and rightfully so. We definitely, in our review episode, you can hear all our gripes with it, and they are pretty much the same as everyone else's. So
I haven't played it in a few days, man.
I honestly haven't. I started playing Dying Light this weekend.
I've heard about that. I heard that you can like the Friday the 13th kind of game where you could just go. You're just a killer, and you just go around and killing people.
It's basically no. Dying Light is zombie apocalypse. You're a guy. You're like with the military, but you're infiltrating a rival like group to try to get all their intel on what's going on and trying to get a cure. And it's like just like open world kind of thing, and you're killing zombies.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I'm only very new into it so far, but it's okay. There's a lot of parkour that you have to do.
Interesting.
If you want to avoid zombies, you got to run across rooftops, which makes sense. So yeah, it's actually not bad. I don't know. Ask me in a couple of weeks if I've gotten further in it or not. We'll see.
I'm interested by it actually, because I heard some. I guess there's gonna be some ways you can play like other characters and stuff too. Like I guess there's gonna be like Michael Myers or something.
You could play as a zombie in the game. I know that. So
yeah,
and there's multiplayer where you and your friends can get together online and go do missions together in a group.
I wonder if that's maybe I'll be interested in that. Well, I'm also gonna start rediscovering the N64, so
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten the Super Mario one yet either. We need a Switch, so
yeah. So here's the thing, I've got $200 in trading credit at GameStop. Do I use it towards a Switch? Or do I just buy a bunch of more games with it? That's the question we have. That's the $25,000 question.
Or the $200 question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, save it for the Switch.
Yeah.
You at least get that out of the way so you can play the Mario game, which looks interesting.
Yeah, it does. The problem with that, though, is you play it once and then you never play it again.
Well, that's... Yeah. There's a lot going on there, though. Just from watching it, it looks a lot like the Lego games.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of have to go and like find your quests to get the things you need.
Yeah, I think you might have convinced me to buy it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon. Oh, wait. What's our tag for this week? What's our name? We got to do one. Who do we talk about?
I wish Ken Patera had a tag, but he doesn't.
I'm in jail.
Yeah.
Hang on, here, let's do One Man Gang.